Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today from Numbers, the Old Testament lesson, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and the fiery serpents bit the people so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We've sinned. We've spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take the serpents away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." Dear friends of Christ, as I told the kids in the children's sermon, you know, today's sermon's about snakes. If that makes you squirmy, well, that's the way it is. But I don't care for snakes myself. I'm not a big fan of them. But God's people complained. God's people bellyached. And the snakes were sent. He sent poisonous snakes to kill them. This was the punishment. This was the judgment. Again, I can't imagine the chaos of having snakes inside my tent. I can't imagine the chaos of having poisonous snakes outside my tent. It's a horror story. Those slithering things everywhere. Can you imagine waking up with one in your bed? Well, the Israelites didn't have to imagine. This is exactly what was happening to them. This slithering brood of vipers, they hid everywhere. They hid under piles. They hid in dark corners. They hid in the latrine. They hid in your bedding. They were everywhere. In the bathroom, they were there, and they were aggressive. As soon as they'd see you, they'd bite first and ask questions later. For me, that'd be terrifying. And then even worse, people were dying. Children were dying. Dads, moms, family members, friends. And the snake bite hurt. And then it was a slow, agonizing, painful death. And it was all because God was angry. Judgment. The snakes were a punishment. Aren't you glad God doesn't punish us for our sins that way anymore? He could. He chooses not to. Today, God expects us to learn from the mistakes of our Old Testament counterparts. So instead of sending poisonous snakes, he said, "Do you remember when I did that? Don't do that again." Again, God's warning is still crystal clear. Listen to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians. "These things took place as examples for us, so that we will not desire evil as those Old Testament people did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not also indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. And we must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents, and nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer." Now, these things happened to them as an example, but they're written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. So these events from the Old Testament are for our instruction. So if these are for our instruction, what do you learn today from the venomous snakes? Well, let's consider our theme. The snake bitten live. The snakes were God's judgment for grumbling. These were a faithless people. Remember, God had just delivered them out of Egypt, and they're now in the wilderness. And as soon as they get in there, they don't like the manna that God provided for food. They didn't like the water that Moses made flow from the rock. They just weren't happy with all of God's provisions, the parting of the Red Sea. They weren't happy with God's grace. They weren't happy with the gifts of God. So God sent snakes, and he sent a lot of them. Now, it didn't take long for the people to come complaining. "Make the snakes go away." The snakes broke them. It broke their grumbling spirits. And they made confession with their lips to Moses. We have sinned against God, and we've sinned against you. We've done what is evil in the sight of God. And then they asked God to go make intercession for them. Go talk to the Lord for us. And ask the Lord to take the snakes away. And so Moses prayed, but the Lord didn't take the snakes away. The snakes continued to be a pestilence. And everywhere you go, those serpents would snap at your ankles and sting. But the Lord did provide a cure. The Lord did provide a solution. He gave them the anti-venom. Now, I have an old friend in Oklahoma City, an old high school friend, who raises these snakes as his pets. And, you know, he wants me to handle them, and I can handle the rubber snake. That was kind of cool. The other snakes, I didn't care to mess with. And especially the poisonous ones. And my friend has fingers that are bent sideways, kind of like he has rheumatoid arthritis. And I say, why are your fingers bent? And he says, because the snakes have bit me. But he has to have anti-venom. Because when he gets bit, he'll die. So he always has anti-venom on hand. And while there are consequences to sin, his hands don't work as well, the anti-venom saves his life. Well, God provided the anti-venom. God gave a command, make a fiery serpent made out of bronze, set it on a pole, lift it up. Now, this is all being done as a foreshadowing of Jesus being lifted up on the cross. Just as they would look and be healed, so also Jesus would be lifted up and heal us. So keep that all in mind. They lifted up that bronze serpent on a stick. And of course, it's kind of like our two New Testament sacraments. You know what our sacraments are, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Do you remember what makes a sacrament? You have to have a visible element like water in baptism. You have to have God who commands it do this. And then it has to give life, forgiveness, and salvation. And again, while the snake wasn't a sacrament, it was certainly like that, wasn't it? If you consider that bronze serpent, it had a visible element, what you see. It had the power of God attached to it that would give life. And it was commanded by God, make a bronze serpent and lift it up. And if the people looked at it, forgiveness and life came to them. Those who looked up on the pole lived. Now, Martin Luther in his catechism asks this question in regard to our sacraments. How can bread and wine do such great things? How can plain water do such great things? And so now I ask you, how can a bronze serpent do such great things? It's just a bronze serpent. Well, it's because the bronze serpent didn't do them. The bronze serpent didn't have any power. The bronze serpent only had power because God's word and his promise was attached to the bronze serpent. Again, so it is with baptism and the Lord's Supper. It isn't the water. The water has no power. It's plain old water. But you take God's word and you attach it to the water, and it's life-giving water. You take God's word, you attach it to the bread and wine, and it does great things. They offer us forgiveness, life, and salvation. So, what does this exactly mean for us? As we sit here comfortably in this serpent-free sanctuary. Well, hopefully it leads us to confession, to think about those times when we've grumbled, right? But more than just the sin of grumbling, which is addressed in our Old Testament text, there's also the sin of apathy, our sin. We don't want to tell people about Jesus. We don't want to lift up the cross of Christ in our lives. Sometimes at Lent, people don't even want the cross put on their forehead. And if they do it early, they wipe it off throughout the day so that people don't see. Because they don't want to be marked as one of those Jesus people. We don't like telling other people about Jesus, lifting up the cross. How so? Well, imagine for a moment that you're out there with the Israelites in the desert and you're surrounded by the poisonous snakes. Okay, put yourself there. Now think, your best friend, your relative, your neighbor gets bit. They scream out in pain. And you know what's going to happen, they're going to die. So what do? You watch them slither and slowly die? Or do you know, since there is a cure, the serpent on a pole, you scoop them up, and no matter how difficult it is, no matter how socially awkward it is, no matter how challenging it is, no matter how far it is, you're going to pick up that person and you're going to drag them, carry them, but you're going to get them to that serpent so that they can look up to that serpent and live. That's what you're going to do, right? No matter the cost. Now think about today. How many of your friends and neighbors, co-workers, relatives are dying? They don't have saving faith, and they've been bitten by the deadly poison of sin, and they're going to die for all eternity. Again, what's the cure? The cure is looking up to the cross. The cure is putting our faith in Jesus. The cure is Jesus Christ, who lifted Himself up on the cross and bore our sin and carried our punishment, was punished in our place. Look what He's done. Look up, believe, and in believing be saved. Jesus is the anti-venom for sin. Jesus is the anti-venom for the curse. Jesus is the anti-venom for death. And the Israelites were dying right and left. And you know what they did? They went to the cure. It might have been difficult getting there, might have been awkward, but they didn't care, whatever needed to be done to save a life. And yet we can come up with so many good excuses, can't we, as to why we don't want to try to save a life spiritually. You might worry about sounding judgmental. You might worry that your friends are going to make fun of you or not like you anymore, or they might even get angry at you. And so there's all kinds of excuses. Maybe you're one of those people, you don't even want to impose your own personal beliefs on someone else. How dare I impose my beliefs about Jesus on another person? But really? Life and death is at stake. You know, an artist depicted this event. He painted the people there covered with snakes. And they're hanging from their arms and they're hanging from their body, hanging from their neck. And think about that. And you know what all those people were doing who were covered with snakes? They were all standing before the bronze serpent. And they were looking up. And now I can't imagine being bitten and not looking up. I can't imagine having that poison flowing through my blood and not looking up for the cure. You'd look at that cure and you'd live. And the people in the painting, what were they doing? Besides looking up to the cross, they were pointing other people to the serpent. You need to look up and be saved too. As the snakes are dangling from their arms, you know, pointing them to that which is lifted up. So what does it all mean? Well, Jesus is a cure. He's the anti-venom. And sin is killing people. And the people need to know because they're lost and dying. And those people don't have Jesus, and they don't have the cure, and they're all bitten by sin. And it all happened with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were snake bitten. Read about it in Genesis 3. The serpent, the devil, leads them into sin and bit them. And that venom of that original sin, that first sin, still flows in our veins. And that's why God had to send the anti-venom. That's why God had to send the cure. And we read about it in our gospel lesson. God loved the world so much that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. In the Old Testament, God provided a cure. Put a bronze serpent on a pole and live. And God provides a cure for us today. He lifts up His own Son. The cure for sin and death. The solution. Look at the cross. It's Lent. Why did Jesus die on the cross for our sins? Because He had to set us free. And He bears our curse and He takes the punishment. He takes the blame. Tell someone. Let people know, especially your family. Jesus was condemned to set you free. Jesus died. His guilt is your innocence. His death is your life. And He lifted Himself up that He might draw all people to Himself and lift them up. Our gospel lesson sums it up. As Moses lifted up the snake on a pole in the desert, so also the Son of Man must be lifted up. Then everyone who believes in Him will have eternal life. Jesus is the antidote. Jesus is the anti-venom. And how do you know, how anti-venom is produced? They give it to animals, they give it to people in small amounts, so they build up an immunity to that poison. And then they draw from that vein someone who has been infected by the venom and who survived it. And that's the anti-venom. Jesus survived the poison. The poison of sin was placed upon Him. He took the poison of sin and death. And though He was not sinful, He suffered and He was buried. It was all placed on Him, and He rose again. He survived the poison. He lives, and He's lifted up that we might live. He's the cure that we all need. And without Him, there is no cure. And you, well, you find the cure right here. The cure is right here today. The anti-venom is delivered to you in the water of baptism where He attaches His promise. And in it you live. The anti-venom is given right here when you come to this communion rail and you receive His body and blood. And the anti-venom is delivered to you. Just plain bread, just plain wine. And how can this bread and wine do such things? Because God attaches His word to the water, the bread, and the wine. And they do great things. Look up and receive life and forgiveness and salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.